Hello and welcome to the Keeping Her Keys podcast. I'm Cindy Brannon. This episode is a conversation that Kristen, the Witchissippi herself, and I had about an aspect of Hecate that we're both very enchanted by, and that is Rixipele, the gate-crashing, chain-breaking liberator. My audio was breaking through chains itself, so it's a little scratchy. You might want to turn down your volume. It's funny because we goofed around with my mic for so long. It sounded fine to Kristen and our producer, Leia, but the audio just wants to be kind of scratchy and funny. So we're keeping it real. We're kicking it Rixipele style. Shake it up, witches. Here comes Rixipele. Hello and welcome. Kristen and I are going to be discussing one of our favorite aspects of Hecate, which comes from the ancient collection of spells and rituals known as the Greek magical papyri. If you have entering Hecate's cave, I honored this aspect of Hecate with a chapter. It's chapter 13, Rixipele, the Chainbreaker. Kristen, are you excited to talk about the Rixipele aspect? Oh, yeah. Are we going to break some chains? Mm-hmm. We need to have more va-va-voom, though, because Rixipele is very, like...
We're going to crash some gates and break some chains.
Yes, we're going to crash some gates, but we're going to do it our way, which means we'll be sitting in a comfortable chair as it happens. Okay, if you're ready, let's light our candles. I have Margie's Rixipele illustration on mine. Let's light our candle and begin. And let's just enter into that spirit of breaking chains with that counterclockwise motion. Just anything that you feel that is holding you, just see if you can loosen it up. Or if things come to mind. And then as we do this liberation work, let's cast the circle around us, protecting us and connecting us to the epithet of Rixipele. I'll read our invocation, which is the opening verse from the Rixipele chapter. Spin and shake, loosen and quake, stomp and step, speak and sing, freedom within, freedom without, moving towards wholeness. Liberation begins, coming together, standing strong. Rixipele, Rixipele, Rixipele. Woo! Feel like we need drums or something for Rixipele because she has such a vitality to her. And we're going to actually start with something a little bit different instead of a meditation. Well, it's kind of a meditative exercise. We're going to be doing the being check-in from the Rixipele chapter. So it's a little bit further on in the chapter. So the being check-in. One of the things I think that's really challenging in the world today with all of the pressures that are on us, like all of the forces that can wrap us up in chains, is just to know how we are actually doing, just to know what we actually want, what we actually need, who we actually are. So the being check-in is a simple practice that comes from different forms of psychotherapy. It's called the HALT questions. So Kristen, are you ready to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. So just close your eyes and connect with your breath. Allow the breath to fill your body so you take up all the space that you deserve. And as you release the breath, just feel yourself sink into those sitting bones. becoming rooted, grounded, and just pause here just to check in with your body. Rixapele is very embodied. She wants us to move. She gives us momentum. So just notice anything that comes up, sensations, aches, pains. Now, turning your attention to your feet, we're going to start at the feet, which are nice and rooted. Wiggle your toes, spread them if you can. Really allow them to rest on the floor. Now let's move up to our calves and legs. And if you can, give your muscles in your calves and legs a good squeeze. Maybe even moving into squeezing the butt. And then let that go. And now let's squeeze the belly, pull on those muscles. Nice and tight as you can. And your sitting bone muscles, your hips, all that area, squeeze it as tight as you can. And now just let it all go. Now get your spine nice and straight and your front nice and straight, and take your shoulders and give them take your elbows and your arms and give it all a good squeeze. And let it go. Do you feel how liberating that is? Just that small exercise where we have all this tension we are holding in our body, and just going through the body, tensing and releasing, we feel a little better after. So now in this place, let's ask ourselves those four questions. Am I hungry? When was the last time you had something that truly, truly nourished you? That brought you joy? Gave you nutrients? Is there any anger floating around? Are you grouchy, grumpy, frustrated? Just see if you can let that come through and you can just bring it into vision, honor it. Anger is often so repressed. Anger is often an important part of the Rixapele revolution, where we learn to feel all of our emotions all the way through. Next question is also a big one. Am I lonely? And finally, am I tired? Did I get enough sleep? Am I getting enough rest? Now take another deep breath and thank your body for the information it's given you. And open your eyes and come on back and join us for this conversation about Hecate and personal liberation. Okay, Kristen. So Were you satisfied with the answers that your body gave you about the four questions?
Yeah, and I feel this need to like, it's that loosen and shake, I think. I just need to like stretch out. And lonely surprised me a lot. I didn't expect the reaction that I got with lonely. And I think that has something to do with me being guarded, and it makes me think about, you know, the chains that I'm breaking and the gates that I'm opening and what I and who I allow in. Does that make sense?
That makes like, so much
I need to allow space for, you know, healthy connection.
Well, I hope you do. Yeah, I think I've been contemplating loneliness a lot in connection with the idea of Rixapele and this liberation, because it, like, loneliness can keep us bound. Like you said, like, when we have our armor up, we might not even know we're lonely, because we're like, I just don't want to be hurt again, or it's just too much work. And you know, and those can become like chains that keep us bound from forming really meaningful relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, going through Rixapele and feeling the anger and kind of that clarity of Rixapele being the chain breaker, when we realize that there are chains around us and gates to crash, that it, we can need, by necessity, we might be lonely for a while. Mm-hmm. If we need to end a relationship and so on. And I write about that in the book, you know, saying that over the years, I mean, we've been doing Rixapele for, I guess, 5 years now at least. And, you know, when students really engage with this aspect of Hecate, it's so powerful. And I mean, we've had students leave relationships, start relationships, quit jobs, get new jobs, move houses, move clear across the country, more than one. It seems to, so, you know, it's that if you are earnest when you say Hexapele, there, we've made it into one word now. Hecate Rixapele, the great chain breaker and gate crasher, show me how I can embody this spirit in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
And it can just be, it can be revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any personal experiences of Rixapele that you'd like to share?
I have lots of personal experiences. I'm thinking about, I don't know if a Rixapele like me is like the breakdown and the breakthrough go hand in hand, you know, like it's the quake, like the shaking things up and the breaking those chains that like leads to the outspill of like these emotions that we need to feel all the way through.
It's so true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been like, I just think personally with, I mean, you know, like personally, I've been going through some things and I had a bit of a meltdown in response to Brené Brown's brilliant essay that someone else on our team shared about everything that Dr. Brown's been through in the past 5 years. And it was like a real Rixapele moment. It was like, you know what, Cindy? It's not fine. You're fucking tired, and you would advise anybody else who's had these kind of personal things happen to them to just take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even, you need therapy, or you need this, or you need this. Just like, you just need to not. That's what you need to do, is not. And, you know, it's funny because I think a lot about Rixapele as like this momentum. I think part of that is connected to, we usually teach it around the time that the sun goes into Aries.
Mm-hmm.
Just usually just before. And I think, you know, that kind of Aries energy. But I think Rixapele can be like that. Like, you are reading this essay, and I'll link to this essay, and It's like, what I need is momentum, but momentum applied to not. Like, I need to do less. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense? It's like momentum in reverse.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I think that is in line with like feeling the feels. Let me see if I can make this make sense. Like, yeah.
Take your time. This is also a pause cast.
Yeah. I had this on the tip of my tongue a minute ago. I think it's given space for all of these emotions that we've been taught to like tamp down, and like the, like, you know, if you need a break, like it's okay to say that you need a break. If you get angry, it's okay to get angry, you know, like it's allowing space for those big feelings and like honoring where you're at and like standing in your power and taking the breaks and stopping the things. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think Rick's appeal is so empowering as a spirit, as an aspect of Hecate, because, you know, it's like, what gates do you need to crash? And sometimes we don't need to like be, you know, like being doing all these things. Sometimes, like, at least for me, it's been like, literally, I need to crash. You know how people look when they're tired, they say, oh, I just need to crash. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's the Rixapilo movement. I don't, like, this is just such a powerful spirit for me. We should say where the source is, the ancient source is in the Greek magical papyri. And I discuss that more in the Rixapilo chapter in Entering Hecate's Cave as well. I think Rixapilo is about the call to change.
Yeah.
Like, she's very unsettling. Because, like you said, it's that she stomps, she strides, she sometimes like stares you in the eyes and says, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. I really think I have this post from a few years ago that I was looking at again the other day. And I said, you know, Hecate is a goddess of no bullshit. She says, give me your shit and stop this shit. Like, I don't need your shit. Nobody, like, just stop. Just, and I think that's very kind of how I interpret the epithet of Rixapele. And I think even in that PGM ritual where that title of her is used, it's because the ritualist is experiencing like great emotional upheaval. Like, they are enraged, betrayed. They're done, right? They're just done.
Yeah.
So they're like, I'm going to do this ritual and I'm going to write things. Even if what they were doing might be a little bit inappropriate in the 21st century, but the underlying emotion is like, I have just had enough of this. Mm-hmm. And I think like that's the breakdown, right?
Yeah.
Because like your body will do that. Even if you're carrying on like, I'm fine, everything's fine. But your body will tell the story. Like, your body will get exhausted, or you'll get really, really angry and super wound up, super activated. Mm-hmm. Which that typically is my go-to place. I can get, I mean, you know me, Kristen. I can get so wound up about things. But I think it's really important, and I write about anger and feeling emotions in the book, that one of the biggest chains I believe that binds us, especially for many women, is the social conditioning around all the emotions we're not supposed to have.
Yeah.
Anger. Are we supposed to have any emotions? Like, what? Any? No emotions that could upset anybody else. I don't think it's really that they don't want us to feel bad. I think it's that they don't want us to feel bad and show it to them, which will then make them feel bad.
Right. Don't be so emotional.
Don't be so emotional. Rick Zappiole says, you know what? Be emotional. And if they don't like it, you know what they can do? Leave. Don't be so emotional. That is such a slur that gets thrown at so many people. And again, it's not, I think it's a lot of times, it's not out of like empathy or concern that you're having these emotions and, you know, that it's going to take a toll on you. I think, I really do think it's that I don't, you know, the person saying don't be so emotional, it's like code for saying, I don't like the way you make me feel when you are emotional.
Yeah.
But it's not about like what we say, it's about when you're emotional, it makes people who are shut down terrified.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rick Zappiole can be kind of scary in and of herself. If we're like comfortable, but we know that there are things like we are being called to do, or we're in a relationship that's irreparable, and we know it's time to leave, or we're in a job and we know we deserve a better job. Like, I think that can be really terrifying. I was really scared when I left my former career to do what, you know, to write and teach like I do now. It's really fucking terrifying at times.
Yeah. I think about this thing that I've heard you say, no growth without friction.
Yeah, no growth without friction. And I think Rick Zappiole is the friction.
Yeah.
You know, it's like breaking those chains, like you're taking the saw to things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of friction. Especially if the person who is, like if there's another person involved. Because I think we should say that. So there's different types of chains. Like, so there's like the chains we put around ourselves. Negative self-talk is a huge one. Overfunctioning, which is one of my favorite chains. I don't know. What's your favorite chain to put around yourself?
Oh man. I'm gonna go with overfunctioning too. That's a big one for me.
So overfunctioning, maybe we should just say what it is. So we're referencing Brené Brown a lot today, and if you're curious about her books and whatnot, you can just look her up, but also I have her books referenced in Enter in Hecate's Cave as well. Like, so the term, I think the first time I heard it was in one of her books, and overfunctioning is just trying to make everything perfect, do everything, working too hard, I don't know, making sure all the towels are folded and color-coded, or just overfunctioning, like doing too much. I think it's also linked to like FOMO, you know, that you overfunction. So you, because you might miss something. I'm going to tell you, like, you're going to miss things and it's fine.
Yeah.
This is what I taught myself. You're going to miss things, Cindy, and it's going to be fine.
Well, it's funny. On the other end of the spectrum, another big one for me is kind of just getting comfortable in my own stagnation. Does that make sense? Like, just, I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I do know what you're trying to say. Like in a slump.
In a slump, yeah.
Or a rut. I think that's a better word, maybe. Like you get in a rut.
Stuck in a rut.
Stuck in a rut. And you're just sitting there being like, well, I could get out of this here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that's what Rick Zappiole comes along and does. She's like, look at you, just sitting there in the mud, in your muddiness. And you're not doing the things. And then so she's just like, would you like a hand out of the mud or do you want to just stay there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, overfunctioning is definitely one of my favorite things. I tend to do that because, in all honesty, like for me, thinking and the intellect and the mind, like that's my zone, my natural zone. Emotions for me are, I mean, I've done a lot of work on this, so they're not as foreign as they used to be, but I think I used to really have a hard time feeling anything. Except every once in a while, they would all percolate into some kind of keg of TNT. And whoever was the unlucky person that just happened to be in my line of sight at that moment, I would be mad at them about everything that had been done in the history of humanity. They would be responsible for everything. And then they would be looking at me like, all I did was leave crumbs on the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it totally does. It makes perfect sense.
That is unhealthy Rixapelite. That is unhealthy Rixapelite.
Right. Okay. That reminds me of something else you said before about not Rixapelating anybody else's life.
Oh, yes.
Like, stay within your own boundaries.
Stay in your boundaries. Rixapelite's got good boundaries. She is concerned about your personal liberation and not fixing you, not you fixing other people. For me, that has been like one of my biggest sources of liberation. I live with two other adults. They are very different individuals than I am. And just the freedom of being like, that's just who they are. Mm-hmm. Like, don't expect them to do things that they don't have within them to do. I think in my 30s in particular, like I used to do this to people. I used to think that if I fixed other people, it would fix me.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I think, I don't know, it's a sort of like grasping for control is like grasping to those chains as a means of like comfort, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
You're chained up and you're reaching through the chains saying, if I fix you, it will release my chains.
Yeah. Yeah.
And friends, it doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work that way.
You can't change anybody else. There's no spell, no ritual. And this is, I think, for me, we were having a conversation with someone recently. I think you were there. We were talking about like managing family visits, mm-hmm. and, you know, like intention setting. And this is what I'll talk about. This is what I won't talk about. If they say this, I will do this. If they say this, and it feels like that's like some kind of control, but actually it's healthy boundaries, and healthy boundaries mm-hmm. are Rixapelite. They're liberating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if my Uncle Peter starts talking about a certain politician, I will just get up and leave. There's no discussion. Just get up from the table and say, thank you for this lovely meal. I have to go. And if someone says, why are you leaving? And you can just say, I have a personal reason that I have to leave.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of breaking those chains that I... Okay.
Okay. So if you're feeling connected to some of what Kristen and I are sharing, and you feel like there are areas in your own life that you would really like to connect with Hecate Rixapelite for guidance, I would say the first thing is to ask yourself if you are ready for radical change.
Yeah.
Like, are you ready? And the radical change, I mean, I mentioned a bunch of like externally visible changes, but that's not just externally visible changes. Like me in this, I never cancel classes or salons. And last week, after my meltdown, thanks to Brene Brown, I canceled the full moon salon. I never do that. So there was that external aspect to it. Mm-hmm. But mostly it was internal what was happening to me. Like I was having a revolution within and saying, I actually just need to go to bed. I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. So, you know, are you ready for those kinds of changes? Internal ones and external ones. And the biggest changes are always internal. Like if you just, you know, they call it the geographical cure. Like if your life sucks in one town and you move to another town and you think life is going to magically get better, but you don't do any internal work, like there is no geographical cure, really.
The I've same, done that.
Have you done the geographical cure?
Multiple times. Yeah. It's not a cure.
It's not a cure. It's not effective. This is not an effective treatment for internal problems. So that's it. So are you ready for change? And then I would say maybe like look at areas of your life. Like are you already aware of areas that you need to would like to change? Mm-hmm. And then I would say, like, what do you have the capacity to do? Like every so often, I'm like, I just want to move away from here. Like it's so isolated. It was a good idea that you came here, Cindy, but you should have given some thought to moving to the middle of nowhere. Actually meant you were moving to the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And like looping back to loneliness. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't have the capacity to change that in a physical way, but I can work on developing richer relationships thanks to technology and maybe taking some trips or something. You know what I mean? Like, what do you have the capacity to do? So, because I think if you're going to do like spells, and we'll be doing this Rixapele waxing moon transmutation spell bag. So, you know, like, what do you have the capacity to do? You know, start to consider that. So when you do a spell bag or whatever it is you decide to do, that it's stretching towards you and what is likely, as opposed to like pie in the sky, things that aren't attainable. I always find like magic that's like, I need help with this. As opposed to magic, like write $1 million on a check and put it over your bed and you'll get $1 million. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay. You have any tips?
I'm just thinking about the emotional aspect of things still. And I just want to say the emotions can be big and they can be overwhelming. And just feel it out. Give yourself time and space to process and do it with grace, you know.
And try not to beat yourself up about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also try not to beat other people up.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the tips that really helped me personally, and I know therapeutically is a really good tip, and is writing letters to people who wronged you and not sending them necessarily. Because mm-hmm. Listen, my friends, if they were assholes, then they're probably still assholes. And you know, unless it was a genuine transgression, one-off, it was, you know what I mean? Like it was a mistake. We all make mistakes, but mm-hmm. but people who are real narcissists, trying to talk to them about the way they hurt you is going to be a waste of your breath. So writing letters.
Yeah.
And if it helps you, either with a friend or even yourself, write back and say the words that you wish the other person was capable of saying. Mm-hmm. We do that, you know, we do that empty chair exercise coming up, not during Rixapele, but it's in the Anasa Anaroi chapter in the book, and we do it during that month in Covina. And I think that's so important, first of all, to get the emotions out, give them some place, write the letter, burn it, shred it, do something to it to get it out of your system, but don't fight it. Like, say, I am pissed off about that. Even if it's something that you're like, well, that's minor. It's like, but it's not if it's eating away at you.
Right.
It's like those fish pedicures. If you keep your fish, your feet in with those fish too long, they'll eat your feet.
This is true.
I don't know. I guess I'm going for a pedicure soon. I'm thinking about those fish. They freak me out, those fish pedicures. I'm not doing it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I was like, maybe I'm just talking about something. She's never even heard of fish pedicures.
No, it freaks me right out. Yeah.
All right. So if it's something little that's eating away at you, maybe, you know, just say it's not little because it's eating away at me, and feel those emotions all the way through and talk about it. You know, find, like, write your letters, but if you have someone you can talk to about it, talk about it. Say, I need to vent about this. I'm going through some things. You know, it's so powerful just to say to the people you live with, I want you to know I'm okay, but I am going through some things. Like, I am doing some inside work on myself. Just let them know. I do that with my sons.
Yeah.
Just like, things are going on here. I don't need anything from you. I might need to talk to you. And if you do want to talk to someone, just say, hey, this is going to be probably a one-sided conversation, but I trust you and I want you to hear what's going on inside of me. You know, create an altar of Rixapele. If there are things you want to break up, break down, break through, put those things on a little altar and contemplate, you know, the power of Hecate as this great eternal liberating force. I think, like you said, the emotions can be strong and the changes can be radical. You know, honor yourself and say, what are the baby steps that will move me towards this liberation?
Yeah.
I think getting granular with Rixapele, like, sometimes, you know, we have the image, like, if one link breaks, then we're free. But sometimes it's like there's all these locks. Like, there's more than one, and it's going to take us time. Hecate will loosen them and shake and help and give us the keys to those locks. But then we have to do the work. And then sometimes I think Rixapele is just putting on whatever music you love to dance to. High vibration music, whether it's Lady Gaga or... I'm into this heavy metal band called Spirit Box. I was listening to them today a little bit. Whatever it is, and just, you know, like, feel that power in that way. So, yes, Rixapele can be, you know, radical, emotions, all these things. And then she can also just be the power of just, like, frenzy and dance and movement and all of those things. So may you journey well with Rixapele, and we love to hear your experiences with Hecate as the great liberator. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.